The Silver Screen Projects.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Project, where we look back at a series of films in anticipation of an exciting new cinema release.
In preparation for Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, we've gone back to the third film of the MonsterVerse franchise, which is Godzilla, King of the Monsters from 2019. 5 years into this franchise now, what did you think of King of the Monsters?
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of the concepts of this. I think, like, Monarch with their facilities, we see a lot of Titans in various amounts in this. I like that. I think the visuals are good. Lots of silhouettes and nice color coding of the monsters. The destruction is pretty good. I think the human side is a little bit overstuffed. We talked about it last time with Skull Island. I feel like they did a similar thing, but not quite as effectively. But overall, like, it's enjoyable. I didn't like it as much so when I first saw it, to be honest. How about you?
Yeah, I still like this. It's clearly not as good as the first two. As you mentioned, the human stuff specifically doesn't hold up to Skull Island, let alone Godzilla. I think it looks amazing. I've got a list of some of, like, some great shots in it. Yeah. It may be, like, I mean, we talked about some great shots that are in Godzilla 2014 and Skull Island.
Yeah.
This may have even more because of the various titans as they
and, like I said, with the color coding and, like, the they do a lot of, like, nice lighting stuff and kind of
I think they deal
simple stuff. I feel
whilst the human stuff is pretty meh in parts. I think they get the kaiju stuff really good. Seeing the kind of modern big CGI versions of these classic kaiju was pretty cool. Obviously, it's the first time you see a lot of these in American films. So, like, with the big Hollywood budgets, it's like, oh yeah, no, this is they do
some
look
of them
good.
Can really look like
Yeah.
I think the concept, like, it's kind of, it does things that Batman v Superman and Avengers Age of Ultron do, where it's like something big happens and the world knows about it and it's kind of the aftermath.
I really like the intro, which is the same as the intro to Batman v Superman.
Yeah, that's really
with
cool.
One of the characters running around a destroyed place and seeing this god who's destroyed their city.
Because we spoke about that with Godzilla 2014, like, even just walking around is just causing so much destruction and you know, all that.
So, like, and then I like, unlike Batman v Superman, that does play, like, a core part to this character for a lot of it, and is believable, and he's kind of cynical until he's, like, persuaded, and it's kind of believable.
I think in that scene you see both the mum and the dad, Carl Chandler and Vera Farmiga, kind of reacting to the destruction and, you know, the loss of their son and everything. I feel like the dad, he kind of reacts to it in a way that makes sense. I feel like with the mum, it's kind of, you know, her characterization is a little bit flawed as it goes
I think Carl Chandler's character, I quite like his character makes sense. His character growth makes sense, and he kind of turns around on Godzilla because he realizes what's kind of going on,
the
with
real
these
stakes of it.
And kind of admits that he was kind of wrong. Vera Farmiga's character, that twist that she's, I remember first when I was like, oh, that's an interesting twist. I'm rewatching it, it's a bit like, okay. And Millie Bobby Brown is,
and also
whatever,
because Millie Bobby Brown at the start, she's emailing her dad, which, first of all, maybe she should be texting him. I feel like she's like 12 or something. She's supposed to be like 12 or something in this.
She's older than 12.
I looked it up because I was like, how old is this kid? She's making really stupid decisions, like, throughout this film. She should probably be texting, whatever, that's a gripe.
I did like that reveal that they were in the Monarch outpost, though.
That's cool. That opening, that second kind of opening bit is cool. But she's like, I've got concerns about mum. She seems to be in on this plan from the start to some degree, or does she get told in between scenes and she's still kind of on board until she's not?
I think she's always on board but doesn't really know what the plan is.
Because that's a little bit unclear, and I feel like it's those three are supposed to be kind of the core, the family of this whole thing. And like you say, I feel like it's not the strongest part of it. And I think some of it's, the performances are okay, but like the sacrifice, I don't want to go too into negatives too early on, but like when she sacrifices herself at the end, it's kind of like, okay, like you kind of deserve this. I don't really care. Yeah. Like it's not really.
To stick on the positives, the monsters are great. When King Ghidorah first turns up, like that whole bit is like incredible.
Yeah.
Like breaking through the ice. Like it's like, you've seen like the Mutos were kind of destructive, but you can immediately see this is a villain on a much higher level.
Yeah,
and like I feel often with these kind of big animal movies, when an animal is the villain, it's kind of hard to really show them as being like, oh, this guy's evil.
Yeah.
Whereas like with King Ghidorah, like they give him a personality that you're like, he's a villain.
I feel like I saw somewhere that they did motion capture for the heads, like with three guys like wiggling around. I feel like, I don't know if that was like a joke thing that I saw, because it seems stupid. Like, why would you get three guys like doing a worm around? But I do like that the heads have got like personalities, and it's kind of like the middle one is in charge and is kind of like nipping at the other ones and all that.
The left one is beheaded at one point and comes back and is a bit of an idiot after.
Yeah,
that was the memes of that. Like, I still see memes of that left
head. People do the like trilogy thing where one's weaker kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, the rest of the Mothra we spoke about, Mothra's kind of
great, and like the design is great.
Starts
again
as like a kind of grub thing, and then has a great kind of,
and obviously Mothra's the first one we see, and like it's just a big grub, but then kind of has, and also again you can, there is a sense of personality there.
It has kind of a cute face at the start, even when it's kind of hissing and shooting webs at people and all that sort of thing. But yeah, great design with the wings kind of. Well, I was talking about the color coding, kind of goes between blue and white, and if it's blue it's kind of like matching up with Godzilla, so you can see the teams very kind of distinctly. Thing.
Is it one of my trivia? It's not, but When they designed Mothra, the eyes on her wings are supposed to match Godzilla's eyes to kind of link them.
That's cute.
Rodan's design is great. The flaming wings are
very cool.
Brilliant.
That shot of the flying over the village and it just kind of destroying after.
Yeah.
I think again in the trailer, but a very, very cool thing. Kind of like a phoenix / dragon / pterodon kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of quite bird-like, but then up close, very kind of scaly and... if it was feathers, it wouldn't really make any sense, would it?
So. It's more like a giant pterodon than anything else.
Then
I think I really liked what was on these, but in that final fight where you've got like Godzilla and King Ghidorah going at it, and then you've kind of got the second smaller fight between Mothra and Rodan going at it as well. And I'm like, I really like that. The one on each side,
it's
like
a nice little pair, the little
sidekicks.
Yeah, it's cool. And then Godzilla doesn't have masses of changes, like, you know, noticeable changes from the last film. Yeah,
the dorsal fins are slightly different designs. But for the most part,
and he seems to be more glowy, like the kind of light display thing is used as a display, an intimidation tactic, whereas before it was just related to the thing.
I did like that little light display thing in the underwater where it's just kind of
I thought it was a bit of a cheesy scene. I feel like some of the acting is a little bit like, I think some of the, we'll talk about negatives, some of the supporting casts aren't the best in this, I don't think.
We get the hyper radioactive Godzilla at the end as well, where he
power up
goes full like magma, and
that's cool. The kind of shooting the waves out is a cool effect. I mean, it's kind of like a cheat way of winning in a way, because it doesn't really have to do anything,
it's cool. It looks cool.
And we do get like however many others. There's, I think, three others or four others that you see.
The other Titans,
So there's a Muto you see.
Yeah.
There's one called Behemoth, which is a mammoth ape thing.
Yeah.
Scylla is a giant crab spider thing. And then Methuselah is the German one that has kind of comes out from the mountains. It's kind of unclear what kind of creature it is.
And we see kind of flashes of other ones on news, but never we get those ones appear at the end.
That's it. I think there's a load of other ones that are on the names come up on screens, and most of it is either like cryptid-y stuff or like ancient kind of.
One of my trivias I will just say now is on the map, when they go around showing different ones, it shows a monarch site in Scotland.
Okay.
Implying potentially Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is a fun little thing. I mean, in this kind of thing, you can just put in a bunch of different like mythological creatures.
Yeah, I mean, some of them on here, I know Bunyip is one of the ones that's named, which is like an Australian cryptid underwater thing, so it makes sense. One called Typhoon, Baphomet.
It'd be really cool if we keep seeing more of these giant titans in the upcoming films, won't it?
Yeah. It would be cool if they made another appearance at some point.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
The cast, we talked about a little bit. I mean, Millie Bobby Brown, she's okay. I think she's got some good face acting.
She's fine.
Characterization-wise, a bit annoying, but she is a kid, yeah. So you can't really complain too much. Charles Dance, not in it much, but yeah, he's okay.
He kind of just plays Charles Dance.
He's a bit of a one-note villain. Do you see, there's the quote from when he was asked about how the filming was, and he was like, the catering was sensational. And he also said that he like barely stayed awake during the premiere, so that might be why he doesn't come back for the next film. Yeah, Vera Farmiga, she's okay.
She's fine.
I feel like they kind of do like the mad mother thing a little bit, and then they try and undo it, and it kind of doesn't really work for me. And
yeah, Ken Watanabe has a bit more to do in this one.
I like him in this.
He has his big kind of sacrifice moment.
Yeah,
I really like the underwater temple by the whole design.
It's such
a
shame that it gets blown up. That's kind of the point. And also, I didn't realize until kind of thinking back on it, it mirrors the Surazawa from the original 54, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Although the 54 wouldn't have been to save Godzilla, it would have been to kill Godzilla. It's kind of like turning its head.
Yeah,
I did feel like this. I was like, oh. Like thinking back, I remember Ken Watanabe being in these films way more than he was, and he's not really.
He's kind of a glorified cameo. He kind of just says Gojira a lot, doesn't he? Like every time, if they need someone to say it, there's an awful bit. I can't remember the guy's name. He's in Cabin in the Woods.
I wrote it down.
Is it the bit where it's my god?
Someone's like, my god, and he goes, Zilla.
I was like, no, I do not terrible. Like that.
There's another line, I think the same guy says when they're talking about, just like get Godzilla to fight King Ghidorah. This is after Ken Watanabe, Serizawa's dead. And he's like, since Serizawa let them fight action. I used to love it when he said that. It was like, he said it once to like one person.
Bradley Whitford, he's called. He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as Andy Samberg's dad a few times as well. He's a comedian. People know him from other stuff. But
yeah, it's a bit like, come on, there's some forced dialogue
and
here.
And there's a bit, I was going to do a Hollow Earth check-in later on, but we might as well do it now. He's like, I knew Hollow Earth was real. And it's like... what is it like? Is it that is there a core to the Earth still? I mean, we'll talk about it more next time. But
I think we'll talk about it more next time. But it seems to me there's just a gap underneath everything.
Yeah, so it's almost like there's another layer, and some of that is water they can swim in. Some of it is just tunnels.
So rather than hollow, it's just.
Multi-layered.
There's some more bits that I like the whole shot of all the Titans bowing at the end.
That's
I think
cool.
That's cool. We get another fake out with the head
very cool.
It comes up and you're like, oh, Ghidorah's fine, and then it's not. In the credits, we get a whole lore dump with Godzilla Kong,
and it's got loads of stuff as well about like how they were right about the positive effects of Godzilla and the Titans and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like the eco-terrorists were kind of right to some degree. I mean, they didn't know that Ghidorah was going to take over and kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But their initial plan was kind of not a bad thing.
Maybe we should let Godzilla win. The other thing, some of the shots that I pointed out that I thought looked fantastic was that first shot of Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, the long shot that Ghidorah pulls out the wings, and you're looking at it from miles away, and they're just like small guys on the opposite side. It's like... when people like us do like the prize fights and you're like, you literally start line up one versus one. You can imagine someone having their little action figures that line up and running back, and it looks great.
That whole sequence from when, I mean, even with the ice blowing up and stuff, that's a bit extended, but once Ghidorah's up is great. And then about to do a big like lightning attack and then pauses and you're like, something's coming and Godzilla's on the radar. Yeah. It's all great. That's good stuff.
I love the shot of King Ghidorah on top of the volcano.
Yes. There's a cross there for some reason, symbolism or something.
Yeah, putting the wings out and being
And Rodan's kind of circling around.
I'm here. I'm the fucking villain, bitch. There's the first shot of Mothra unfurling her wings.
Yeah, under the waterfall.
Just looks incredible. Yeah, yeah. And you're like, wow, she is like stunning as like a creature. Like, it looks so good. It's all like glistening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one's the lightning King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Towards end. Where
is
just
that the bit where Millie Bobby Brown's on the roof?
Yeah.
And because I think that was the opening of one of the trailers, I remember. Because she's, I think it might be an extended version where she's on the roof and the flag's like whipping and then suddenly it stops and changes direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. That Ghidorah, all the yellow lightning looks great.
Really cool. And it's that kind of silhouette stuff I was talking about. There's even a bit before that when they're in Washington DC and they're like, the sky looks like it's alive, and they're like, that's because it is, and the lightning flashes and you can see the silhouette and very cool. The whole storm thing is really cool, like kind of bringing the tropical storms.
Yeah,
they talk about Ghidorah's like an alien basically in this, which is
the origin,
from
Venus, funnily enough, in the original.
Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. King, so
yeah,
you'd imagine.
I think in this universe as well, they specifically say he about Ghidorah and Godzilla multiple times.
What about Rodan? The two flying ones, the two little flying
ones,
the little women.
Rodan, but more for
little flying girls.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the things I've got that kind of fall in my neither negative or positive thing. Yeah. I like that they throw in an oxygen destroyer in there. I don't like that it doesn't really do anything. It's just kind of a side point.
Did they mention it's an oxygen destroyer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I must have missed that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. They've got an oxygen destroyer. I feel like...
Because it's like a big green glow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it goes off.
I feel if you're going to bring back an oxygen destroyer in reference to the 54 film, it needs to kind of be the big climax rather than just like the start of act two kind of thing.
Yeah. No, totally.
I feel like it's a bit cheap, like throwing it in there. Also, I've got in the credits, I've got the Surge Tankian cover of Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult. It's not as good as the original. I like Serge Tankian, but I remember hearing it being like, oh, well, why don't they just get the original? It's much better. Yeah. But
like we said, it's a good credit sequence. It's fun to watch. A lot of credits, you know, they don't hold your hand with those kind of things. And, you know, you kind of, you're either paying attention or you're not. There's a lot to see in those little bits. And you're like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Good little song to go with it. Yeah. The post credits is Charles Dance being
the Ghidorah head.
We're getting ahead, and that's going to be in the next one for Godzilla or whatever.
So negative. So humans, we've kind of already touched on a lot of it. It's just not that compelling.
Yeah, just I think some of the acting is just a little bit unconvincing.
Yeah, I think we both just a few months ago went to see Godzilla Minus One and praised the human element of that loads. And looking at this comparison, it's like, come on.
I think it's not just the performances themselves. It's the story isn't really very interesting.
Yeah,
and I think there's too many characters. I like that, like, some of the army people kind of continue through. There's the guy who's like Ice Cube's son, I think, and he's in Straight Out of Compton, I think.
And there's the general guy,
and then there's the woman who's also with them as well, and there's a pilot woman as well. Yeah.
And I like that it's almost like an anthology cast with these films, although they do kind of don't do that for the next
Millie Bobby
Brown comes back. Yeah. But I like that the... It doesn't always have to be the same people following
especially
these monsters.
Especially with like Monarch and all that. It makes sense if there'd be a few different people. Yeah, completely agree.
I think there's another dumb line that Vera Farmiga says when she's getting away and she turns and Ghidorah's about to get her and she goes, long live the king.
Yeah, it's like, and fucking like, loser, mate. Get out.
It's like, who are you supporting? Like King Ghidorah?
It doesn't. Well, she's on the other side, isn't she?
Yeah.
But it's not very. But it's the king. If they haven't said that he's king of the monsters at this point, either.
No.
But then they also haven't called Ghidorah King Ghidorah, I don't think.
No, I think they just say Ghidorah. Like, they just say Kong as well, really, don't they?
There's a bit as well where they're like, before the final, you know, sequence where they fly to help in Washington, they fly to, I don't know where it is, they go like, this time we join the fight. And it's like, but did you really do anything? Like, there's a bit in Boston where they're like, we'll draw some of Ghidorah's fire by shooting at it. And it's like, but does that actually do anything?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like... Vera Farmiga joins the fight by distracting Ghidorah.
Yeah,
but
you have to do a full-on sacrifice. Like, what do you think about the Orca box thing?
So that was one of my negatives. Yeah. Like, I think the concept of it is quite cool, and the first bit with Mothra is quite good. I think it's really overused in this. It seems like every other scene, it's like, well, let's use the Orca and we can make them do what we want.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, and like, it's one of those weird things of like, what exactly does it do? How is it so powerful?
Yeah.
And why does it have only affect the Titans that they want it to affect at certain times kind of thing.
Yeah, the range of it is very unclear, because at one point Millie Bobby Brown connects it to the Fenway Park speakers, yeah. And it's like then... But then it still works on its own. It's got some sort of...
And she puts in the Fenway speakers and then Titans around the world stop destroying cities.
Yeah. And this is what I was kind of saying about her being a stupid kid, because, like, what was her plan, really? Like, was it... It was to draw them all to one place, but
I think it was to stop the Titans destroying cities.
Take them to a different city.
No, just because they were destroying cities because they're being influenced by Ghidorah.
Right,
so I think if she overruled Ghidorah's instructions, then they'd stop destroying cities.
Yeah, I feel like I was going to save this for next time, but I feel like one of the failings for Millie Bobby Brown's character is that she doesn't have anyone to talk to the whole film.
Yeah, although they do give her someone next time, but
that's what I mean, and I can't remember how that goes, but a lot of this she's kind of silent or being a bit whiny. Yeah. If she had someone to say, "Oh, let's do this," then it would make that kind of a bit clearer. There's at least her intentions.
There's a bit as well where when she decides to go to Fenway Park, it's because she's overheard her mum's plans just through a speaker in her bedroom that's just like linked up to the next room, and she's hearing all these secret plans, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Is this how like this plot is developing? Like, and it's really loud in her room,
and like, even the eco-terrorist thing, like there's a bit where they let Vera Farmiga go off and they're like, you know, we don't need her anymore, and it's like, but like, so what are you gonna do now? You're just gonna chill? Like, you've started this process, you're gonna do you have anything more to your plan? I know that it's just a generic bad guy terrorist plan, but I feel like everyone's kind of motives are pretty unclear in this, unless they just say them out loud, which they do occasionally.
So I've got some trivia.
Oh, I was gonna say, the sense of scale I don't think is quite as good.
No,
I think it's generally, there's some moments like you said, I think compared to Gareth Edwards' Godzilla, I feel like when it's humans and people, a lot of that feels a bit more green screeny in this, and a bit more like they're there and we're here kind of thing.
I think Godzilla's a bit faster as well, which again loses that sense of size.
Yeah.
Because the whole plodding, slow moving makes them seem bigger.
Yeah.
When Godzilla starts moving a bit quicker, it loses that a bit.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to progress.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be in a trivia, but they're all getting bigger and bigger each time, aren't they?
I'm sure.
Did you have anything about that?
No, I didn't.
I think I saw somewhere that Godzilla's like 100 meters taller in this.
Really?
100 feet, maybe. But like, it's a significant increase, although they do say at the end, like, the power up made him like buffer, so maybe that's in the final battle. He might have grown a bit in that point, I don't know, but I saw somewhere there is a size increase.
It says everything about the size and the fact that you can't really notice that's much of a significant change.
Exactly.
So the people have got the four main kaiju are the same four kaiju that featured in Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, 1962.
Okay.
So I think that was Ghidorah's first appearance, so it's nice to kind of, let's use the same ones. Godzilla was designed to have a personality that would evoke the Last Samurai archetype and be a lone ancient warrior content with solitude and prone not to be a part of the world, but has to resurface when certain types of events force him to appear and set things right.
Yeah, I get that.
You definitely get that vibe, because he is just kind of chilling until Ghidorah arrives, and that kind of Last Samurai. And then the probably bit of trivia that you'll enjoy most, Millie Bobby Brown's film debut.
I did hear that, which is surprising, but I guess
it's kind of, I think, because Strange Things, she's been quite a big name for quite a while,
but she hasn't done that much. Now she has,
she's done like Enola Holmes now as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, and there was the recent one, which maybe I'll talk about on a different podcast.
I saw something that she was in something when she was like really young.
So Stranger Things wasn't her debut.
No, but as an actual like name character, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, mostly, I mean, she's done two Godzillas and two Enola Holmes, and then all of Stranger Things. So she's been pretty busy either way.
Wow. So I mean, when you put it like that, I've seen everything that Millie Bobby Brown's been in. It makes you sound like a fan.
In 2013, she was in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland as young Alice. So that's Of. Then Intruders, NCIS, Modern Family, Grey's Anatomy, and Stranger Things.
Fair enough. So she hasn't really done anything for the last couple of years then.
No. Well, she's got stuff in the works, apparently.
Yeah, probably. Stranger Things season 5. Not that she wants to do that anymore.
Apparently there's like 9 months left of that filming of that.
Really? It's like
they're going to be so fucking old.
Yeah.
They've all got moustaches and grey hair.
Why did they take so long with it? Like this whole... Yeah. I mean, we're going on a bit of tangent. Stranger Things should have been finished in like 2020.
They should have done 3 seasons.
They could have done 5 seasons and finished it in 2020.
I think they should have done 3, but... Yeah.
I mean, the last season was really good.
That's true.
Seasons 2 and 3 were pretty meh.
I think they need to do like a proper time skip for this. But this isn't really the place.
And you know,
for it,
this is they've now found out that one of them's a bit of a twat. So.
Oh, we'll find out. Oh yeah. Hell, them and a lot of the industry.
Maybe they should have left him in the Upside Down.
So they should have done 0 seasons.
But I've got to ask you before we go off too much, whether you think whether King of the Monsters got you more or less hyped for Godzilla X Kong the New Empire Project or Project No.
Yes, I'm seeing you looking at your notes there to find out. No, I'm joking. It's just a terrible title, isn't it, that new one? I'm going off my previous records and saying I thought this was fun, and I'm gonna say yes. I'd like to see more. They need to include more titans. I don't know what's in the new one.
Say more titles.
They need more titles. I want to see more titans. I don't want to just see Godzilla, Kong, and some new guy that they're fighting. There needs to be multiple. They need to build on the world they've done in this.
I think they're not building on the world. They're just doing more Kongs.
Yeah. It's a whole load of them now, and there's a baby Diddy Kongs in it. What do you think about this film?
I like King of Monsters, but again, it's kind of it's that first step into
diminishing
the
returns.
Yeah, the silliness that this franchise has become.
Yeah,
and I think between so we had 2014.
Yeah,
then 2 years after that we had Shin Godzilla as well.
Yeah.
So it was like Godzilla films were kind of riding high at this point. And then we had this, which is like still good, but there's some, yeah.
Yeah.
But next time we'll be talking about the last, most recent entry.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus Kong. So,
yeah.
Wait to hear our thoughts on that.
See what we think about that. And in the meantime, if you want to check out more stuff like this, we've got the Project on the same podcast channel.
Whoop, whoop.
See you next time.
Bye.
Big Godzilla bye.
Project.